If you are able, please stand for the scripture reading. Today's scripture is taken from 1 Samuel 30, verse 1 to 6. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the woman and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in the spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. How's everybody? Good? Well, we're entering into a Thanksgiving week, so let's worship Him with a thankful heart, with our gratitude. When things are doing fine, when the stock market is doing well, our career is going the right way, our family is happy, everybody's happy, our relationships are good, workplace is good, church is good. So when everything is rosy and fine, we tend to forget God, isn't it? It's kind of a bit sad, isn't it? So this morning I preached on a totally different topic, but I'm going to leave that for next week. But it is, people are like that. When things are going good, we tend to drift away from God, like our country, isn't it? Like Canada. Last time I shared about I would say it's the darkest day of David's life. We come to a point that David is so low that he cannot be any lower. He actually went and lived among the Philistines. I mean, how bad can you get, isn't it? And he actually trying to join the army of the Philistines to fight, to kill his own people. So that is the lowest, darkest point of David's life. We almost want to give up on David. He said, if I'm God, I will give up on this guy. I mean, this guy's hopeless. And I don't know why Pastor Tong has been preaching about him for the last few months. How great, how wonderful is a man that touched the heart of God. But when he came to chapter 27 of 1st Samuel, we're so disappointed with this guy. This guy, I would say, is hopeless. He's worse than us. He's actually going and work for the enemies. And I would say that is the lowest, I can say that's the lowest point of David. And we are about to give up on him. But it is God's mercy and love and compassion. Very often when we are at the lowest point of our life, that's what God revives us. It's not that God did not speak to us. It's not that. It's just that when God spoke to us, we were not listening. We only listen when we find that there's no way out with our situation. Then we turn to God. It's kind of a bit sad, isn't it? So today's story, it's not just a story, it's a real story. is that David was trying to volunteer to join the army of the Philistines to kill his own people. But God, if he did that, there will be a point of no return for David. The Bible will probably have to be rewritten. We probably won't know that. It'll be a different description of David. But God stopped him and brought him back. Today we read chapter 30. Chapter 27, we said that it is a book of no God in it. Chapter 27, we did not see a single mention of Yahweh, the Lord. It's all about David's own wishes, own thinking. And now we come to chapter 30. We read chapter 1, verse 1. Then it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag. That's where the place that he was given, the city was given to live. A little bit away from the Philistine leaders, but he can live among them at the place called Ziklag. Because he was rejected by the lead general, the military leaders of the Philistines, so he cannot join them. He actually wanted to join them. How awful this guy was. But they did not trust him. So it's that, no, we don't want David to join us. We don't know this guy, like he is from the enemies. So he was actually a little bit disappointed. They won't let him join the Philistines army. So he, after a couple of days, they went back to Ziklag, the place where they were living for over a year among the Philistines. And then they realized that the Amalekites had made a raid on their place. They burned their place down with fire, and they took captive all their family members, the wives, the children, women, and all who were in it, small and great, without killing anyone. It is interesting. They did not kill anybody. So we can see God's hand is in this whole thing, that God is protecting them. Without killing anyone, and carry them off and went their way. When David and his followers, 600 of them, his bodyguards, his soldiers, came to the city, it was burnt with fire. Their wives and their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. And David's two wives have been taken captive. Ahinoam and Jezreelites and Abigail, the widow of Nabal and Carmelites. Everybody is gone, been taken. This is the lowest point, the saddest day of David. David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. Not only that, he had lost everything, all the families, and his soldiers, people who were supposed to protect him, his faithful followers, they want to kill David. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters were captured. David hit the rock bottom of his life. He had been chased by Saul all these years, and he left his own people. He fled to Philistines. And now the Philistines did not trust him. Now he had nowhere to go. He went back to his place, Ziklag, all his family members, all gone, all his belongings, all been taken. And now, the people who are supposed to support him, closest to him, his followers, wanted to kill him. This is the greatest tragedy for David since he ran away from Saul as a fugitive. It's a rejection from everybody. He hit the rock bottom. Verse 4. Then David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Wept, I look at the dictionary. Wept, here the word meaning to cry, to shed tears. It's not just crying, but actually you have tears. You shed tears. Don't forget that these are warriors, soldiers, fighters. They kill people, but yet they're all crying. Crying out loud, they lifted their voices. They cry out loud until there was no strength in them to weep. These are men. They are supposed to be soldiers, strong fighters. They're all crying like babies until there's no strength in them. Have you experienced moments like this in your life? That you had faced a dead end in your life? There's no way for you to go. All these failures, struggles, stress that you cannot get out, that you cried and cried. My mother is still alive, and there were times that we, when her health took a bad turn, we all worry about her. We cry, we pray to the Lord, and God rescue, save many times. But in your life, have you come to moments like this in your life that you have no way out? Like David, there's no way out. He lost everything, even his closest followers, people who are loyal to him, want to kill him. What was there left for him? Nothing. But it is only in moments like this, unfortunately, that we would go back to God, like David. Chapter 27, last time I call it a chapter with no God. God's name wasn't mentioned once in chapter 27, and that is a dark chapter of David's life. But today, when we read chapter 30, David hit the bottom of the bottom, the lowest point in his life. It's only when we hit the rock bottom that we would turn back to God. It is kind of a bit sad, isn't it? The reason why many are still troubled, still seeking, still making little forward progress is because they haven't yet come to the end of themselves. We are still trying to give orders, to make decisions, and interfering with God's work within us. Chapter 27, we notice that David did not ask God's guidance at all. It's totally different from David's characters. Before 25th chapter, David always come to the Lord for almost everything, little things. Should I go? Should I go and fight the enemies? Should I go? When should I go? Where should I go? He always come and ask God. Until when we come to chapter 27, we notice that David has changed. The stress has taken over him. His situation. He only think of, I better find a way to survive by myself. So he fled to the enemy, the Philistines. Very often we are like David, isn't it? When we face a very challenging situation, that's the time that we start losing our faith in God. I better take control of things. I don't trust God. Maybe God has forgotten me. I better find a way out. David was in great distress. They cried. And I think this is the turning point of David. He cried out loud, not just wept. They cry until they have no strength. We need moments like that in our life for us to turn back to God. When everything goes right, we tend to forget about God's blessings, isn't it? Unfortunately, it's kind of sad. Balak at this time, that is his turning point. Verse 6. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, for all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. And then, this is the turnaround. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David is back. I was going to use that as the title of my sermon today. David is back. After chapter 27, there wasn't a single mention of God or seeking God's will. Now, in this moment of death almost, he trusted the Lord. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Verse 7. First thing he did, then David said to Abiathar, the priest, please bring me the ephod. What is the ephod? This is what the priest will put on. It's like an apron that they want to come to the Lord and ask for direction from the Lord. His purpose is for the high priest to wear, to enter the Lord's presence and conduct various rituals. It's a reminder of God's specific commandments and design. It symbolizes his holiness and power over his people. David is back. First thing, he asked the priest to pray, to come to the Lord. He knelt down before the Lord and asked for direction from the Lord. This is the first thing we need to do. We need to come to the Lord. When we are at the point, we don't know where to go. We're at the rock bottom. All the doors seem to be shut. And David went back to the Lord. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue his band? Shall I overtake them? And he said to him, pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and you will surely rescue all. David is back. It is like the old David, isn't it? Like the David before chapter 27. In chapter 27, all David was saying is, I better do this. I better go here. I better fight to the Philistines. I better look after myself. Now, because he realized that there's no way out for him. He lost everything. So he went back to the Lord and asked for God's guidance. This is what we need when we face tough times. That's the time we have to trust God even more. We have to kneel before our Lord. As a famous mountain climber, George Clark, and when he was young, when he was just learning, starting to climb the mountains, the first time he climbed the Swiss Alps, and he hired two really experienced, strong guys to take him up to the top of the mountain. As they reached the top, the guy in front of him stepped aside so that he can see the majestic view of all these mountains. Such as the young climber stood up, and there's a strong wind suddenly picked up and almost flew him off. Really powerful wind always blew him off the mountaintop. And he was really scared. And then the guy next to him pulled him down and said, on your knees, sir, on your knees. You will not be safe unless you are on your knees. So he asked him to kneel down so that otherwise the wind will blow him off the mountain. It is like that's what David is doing. On his knees. We have to be on his knees when we face challenges, not to turn away from God like David did in chapter 27. And David just followed God's guidance wholeheartedly. And he just pursued the Amalekites. So David went, he and 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Bethel, where those left behind remained. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 were too exhausted to cross the brook Bethel. They remained behind. So here shows that David's compassion. 200 men just too tired because they just came back from the Philistines. They were going to join the Philistines' armies, but they were turned back. So it took them about 2 or 3 days to walk back to Ziklag. Now they have to go and pursue their enemies, try to recover, to save their families. And 200 of them were tired. So David has compassion and let them stay behind. So he took 400 of them to continue the pursuit. But how do you look for the enemies? I mean, this is the wilderness, not like in Vancouver. There's no GPS. Where do you find your enemies? Well, they probably days, they already left days before them. And God is God of wonder. Even though there are no drones, no GPS, not even road signs in the wilderness, you know, where do you find them? I mean, even when I go to Richmond, sometimes I get lost, even with the GPS. Okay? So how could they find the enemies, the Amalekites? God used miracles. God used an Egyptian, a young Egyptian, in verse 11. I'm not sure if I've typed it down here. No. God used a young Egyptian, verse 11. They found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. And gave him some bread for him to eat and provide him water to drink. And then they even gave him a cake. And then they asked if they could guide them. Verse 11, if you can, to whom do you belong? And where are you from? So I am a young man of Egypt, a servant, a slave. We made a ray or naked of the Shelonites and on that which belonged to Judah. So we went and burned down your place, Ziklag, with fire. And David said, verse 15, will you bring me to the band? Will you help us to save our families? Well, they said, yes, I can do that as long as you promise not to kill me afterwards. You let me go. You free me. So verse 18, so they did find the enemies. So God was with them and held them to recover. Verse 18. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken, everything. He recovered everything and rescued his two wives. It's a happy ending. And nothing of theirs was missing, whether small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that they have taken for themselves. David brought it all back. It's a complete victory. And verse 20, David had captured all the sheep, not only that they recover everything, they capture even more. It's a total victory. And this is the theme of chapter 30. If you lay out this chapter, it's very nicely, beautifully structured. From the beginning, verse 1 to 6, it talks about the destruction of the city. And the end, 26, ended with verse 26 to 31, that David distributed all the spoil, the plunder, everything that they got from the enemies. David distributed them. Verse 6 to 8, David seeks the God's guidance. And verse 22 to 25 is appreciating God's grace. Verse 9 to 10 is when the army, the soldiers of David's soldiers, divided into groups. Verse 21, they united again. Verse 11 to 15, discovering of the enemies. Verse 18 to 20, is recovery of what they lost. You can see that this chapter is nicely structured. And the theme of this chapter is in verse 20. I think I typed this wrong. 16 to 17, which is, I just read, complete victory. It's a beautifully structured chapter. The whole chapter trying to point to only one thing, is that it's a complete victory. They recover everything that they lost. No one was killed. God's protection obviously is in it. How can in the battlefield no one was killed? But none of the family members of David and his followers were killed. They recover everything and even more. It's a complete victory. It's in total opposite contrast to chapter 27, where David was a total failure as a leader, as God's child. When we go back to God, it's complete victory. Not based on our strength, not based on our wisdom. But when David turned to God, when he cried, wept, God come back to his life and direct him, to guide him. And he has total complete victory. And then when they try to divide up all these spoils they got from the Amalekites, some of the, did I put it down here? In verse 22, then all the wicked and worthless men among those who went with David said, because they did not come with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except to every man his wife and his children. That's it. They did not come and fight with us, those 200 men. They were too tired to come along. We should not give them any of our spoils. But David said, you must not do so, my brothers. With what the Lord has given to us, who has kept us and delivered us into our hand, the band that came against us. David is back. He's back. He sees that all this, the victory, everything that they brought back, is because of God's grace, God's love for them, God's mercy. And he saw that all these good things came from God. So you must not treat this as your victory, but it is from the Lord. It's what the Lord has given to us. David is back. Now he can see that only when he go back to God that he can have victory. All good things come from God's love and mercy. And the turning point for David is when he hit the rock bottom. The turning point for David when he wept, cried, shed tears until he has no strength. Brothers and sisters, I hope that we don't have to get to David's stage before we turn back to God. When we are healthy, when we are okay with our finance, when things are going right, we tend to drift away from God and lean on ourselves. Let's not wait until that moment like David, when he saw no hope in front of him, then he turned back to God. Let today, this moment, be your turning point. I don't know what is your turning point in your life, but you need to have a turning point. And I think today is your turning point. I don't know your relationship with God. Maybe you are in an excellent relationship with God. I would say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But if you are struggling, You're relying on yourself. You're trusting yourself. You are getting more and more like David in chapter 27. I should do this. I should go here. You totally, God is not in your chapter, on that page. If you are on that page of your life, that God is not, even though you're coming to church, even though you are maybe even serving the church, but you're just doing all this as part of your routines. God, like in chapter 7, is a chapter without God. If today is a page in your life that's without God, I urge you, don't wait until that moment. Make today your turning point. Maybe God is speaking to you. Turn back to Him. Make God on every page, every day, every decision of your life. Like what David did in chapter 30. He asked God, shall I pursue? He went back, became the old David that we knew before chapter 27. Corrie Ten Boom, a writer of a very famous book, The Hiding Place. I'm sure some of us have watched the movie. She and her sister were arrested during Holocaust, World War II, and they both were sent to a concentration camp. And Corrie's sister, Bessie, died in the camp. And she said in the book, Hiding Place, that our understanding of God's goodness is very shallow. She said, often I heard people say how good God is. We pray that it would not rain for our church picnic. I mean, we did that. And look at the lovely weather. Yes, God is good when He sends good weather. But God was also good when He allows my sister, Bessie, to starve to death in the concentration camp before my eyes. I remember one occasion when I was very discouraged there. Everything around us was dark, and there was darkness in my heart. I remember telling Bessie that I thought God has forgotten us. I'm sure David was thinking of that in the beginning of chapter 30. But Bessie said, no, Corrie, He has not forgotten us. Remember His word. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. Nothing has changed with regard to His goodness and His love towards you today. So Corrie wrote a very famous quotation. When Jesus is all you have, then and only then do you discover that Jesus is all you need. Isn't this what David came to in chapter 30 that we study today? Only when he realized that he has nothing else left, then he realized that God is all he needed. Today, at this moment, let's all remind ourselves, Jesus is all you need. And let make today your turning point to turn back to God if you are drifted away from Him. Let every page, every chapter of your life fill with God's name, fill with God's guidance. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you will help us. Don't let us hit the rock bottom before we repent and go back to you. Let us at this moment examine ourselves. Is you all we need? Is you that we rely on? Let not us rely and trust on ourselves. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.